The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
And now it's time for The Last Word on travel, and something a little bit different we're trying today. We've asked Russell Alford to join us. You know Russell, half of the Gastro Gaze, co-restaurant critic at the Sunday Times Ireland, but always does our cookbooks for us every Christmas. In fact, not long to go now before we do that. Am I allowed to say that?
Reading them furiously at the moment.
Very good. But what we've asked you to do is, and I think this could be a nice little twist on travel, best food destinations. And we've asked you to pick out some places that you would go to, not necessarily for the sights and for various tourist attractions, but simply because the food is regarded as so good.
This is exactly how I travel. So whenever I visit a destination, I'm not really too interested in the sights or the museums or anything. I'm entirely guided by the restaurants, where to eat and where to drink. So I've picked out a couple of places that I really love in the world. I had to narrow the list down because there's quite a lot of destinations.
Yeah, and I tell you what, we've got a few, and I think we'll hold back a few possibly to do on another day. So start with San Sebastian in Spain. Why have you picked it?
So San Sebastian is in the Basque Country, northern Spain, and from a fine dining perspective, it has more Michelin stars per capita than any other city in the world, which is such an amazing feat. It is very much a gastronomic centre for a lot of chefs, for great ingredients. And there's just a really nice food culture that exists in San Sebastian compared to a lot of other cities. Now, Spain as a whole would be personally one of my favourite cuisines. It would be something that I would probably gravitate towards a lot. But there's something about San Sebastian and how magical it is. It's kind of like going into a pick and mix of a sweet shop, except as an adult, and the food is fantastic. So the Old Town, which is very, very compact, really easy to get around, cobble streets, no cars, and restaurants, you go in for a plate and you leave. And it's as simple as that. It's really, really
just
casual.
Walk in, because do you not book in advance when you go to these places? Do you not have restaurants that you've heard of that you months in advance book?
So certain restaurants you would do that with. Some of the Michelin star ones in particular, you would absolutely be trying to get a booking long in advance. But these casual
almost get
spots,
the booking before you actually book your flights or your hotels.
Exactly,
is it?
Reverse engineering the whole thing. Exactly, because you can guarantee they're going to be busy, especially during this peak summer months or even that shoulder season into September and October. But it is the type of place that you can still go and have great meals. So you can do a trail around the Old Town. You can start off and get some beautiful mussels or some clams or some oysters. Finish that. Go off to the next place. Get some. It's called pinchos, so we are very familiar with the concept of tapas. Pinchos is often ingredients placed on top of bread, a little slice of bread that you'd enjoy at a bar, and they can be very, very creative, and they can be anything from a couple of sardines with a nice little jam or some sort of paste on top of it. It can be fruit and vegetable based, some cured meats as well, your sausages and all that on top of it, and you just enjoy it with a glass of wine, some beers and the likes.
They're snacks effectively, are they?
Essentially, and you just go around snacking around the city, and then you find yourself in one of the larger places where you can get a couple of larger plates. There's one restaurant in particular that I wish you could reserve a place in it, but you have to line up outside every day before they open in order to get a table. It's called Bar Nestor, and they do the most beautiful steak that's cooked. They bring out the steaks on a tray to you, and you pick which one you like. They're all monsters. They're all absolutely humongous beef steaks.
But sorry, they've already been cooked.
Cut. Oh, they bring them out to you, and then they start to cook them.
Oh, sorry. So you pick out from the tray, go back, and then do that medium rare or medium or whatever way you want
it
done.
And it's you know, when food is just done so simply but perfectly, it's exactly what they do. The other thing that they are famous for is a tortilla, which is the egg and potato mixed together. It's ooey, it's gooey, has lots of flavor. It's a real treat to have to share with a couple of people. They cook a couple of them a day. Once it's sold out, it's gone. You get a slice of it. The next person gets a slice of it, and it's like a big pie. If it's gone, it's gone. It's a great, great city. If you're into your food, it is so worth going to. Easy to get to as well. Bilbao Airport is the closest. It's about an hour, 20 minutes away on the bus. and there's direct flights with Aer Lingus pretty much most days of the week to Bilbao, and it's well worth a visit.
And is it expensive in San Sebastian when you get there? And is the food expensive?
The food I find inexpensive in the kind of the very casual places. I'd highly recommend doing a food tour if your time is tight, in particular, in order to try and hit as many of the spots as possible. Obviously, as you start to move up the levels into Michelin Guide and into Michelin Stars, there is. But one thing I always tell people when it comes to, when I say Michelin, there's certain different levels of Michelin recommendations. There's one called the Bib Gourmand. These are awards that normally come out just before the stars do. And there's restaurants all across Ireland that have Bib Gourmands. It's a very simple concept. It's all about representing value for money. So usually when I travel, I will pick those places that are the Bib Gourmand. You're still going to get excellent food. You're still going to get great value, great provenance. And it's well worth it.
Okay, I think of fizzy white wines, champagne, Prosecco, Frizzante. You've got a different one that's common to the region.
Yes, it's Ciccoli. So this is a slightly sparkling white wine that is very common from that area. And it's quite theatrical when they serve it to you, because they'll put the glass quite close to the ground. They'll put the bottle very high up and they'll pour it from a height in order to get a bit more aeration, a bit more of a dramatic effect. They do similar with cider. So it's very close to southern France as well in terms of its region, and of course, you know, beautiful ciders that are produced there. There's a lot of cider houses that you can go and visit as well in that area, and it's quite, because it's all very light and refreshing, especially during the summertime. It's a really nice place to go to.
You mentioned queuing at Bar Nestor. Do you have another recommendation?
There's a fab place called Bordaberry, and this is probably one of these places that crowds just jump to. And I couldn't tell you what's on the menu because it changes constantly depending on the ingredients. When I visited, I had the most beautiful pork belly kind of thing, but it's done in Spanish style with, you know, bits of potatoes, bits of bread, and you'd order a dish, enjoy it, and leave. And it's quite spectacular to be able to do that. You can hit like 5-6 restaurants in one evening and have a great time.
Okay, you sold San Sebastian to me. I'm surprised you've picked Copenhagen in Denmark.
You thought I was going to pick somewhere in Sweden, because I do love my Sweden. No, I do enjoy Copenhagen for a gastronomic break. So this is very much like, this is the home of Nordic cuisines, especially you see the influence of that in restaurants here in Ireland, whether it's, you know, the Anirs out in Galway or the likes. You have those, you know, fermented flavors, that belief in simplicity, really clean plates, really modern looking dishes. And Copenhagen has very much become the hotspot for that. I was only at an event a couple of nights ago, actually last night, in fact, and it was the Young Chef of the Year Award. Eurotalks organize it. And hearing of several people having stages in Noma, for example, this is the most popular restaurant in Copenhagen. Now, it's so popular, it's actually closing it down this year. And they decided that it's not sustainable to run this fine dining establishment anymore in Copenhagen itself. So this is currently their last season before they essentially turn it into a test kitchen, bringing all the ideas of this new Nordic cuisine to life. And then they're going to ship it up, bring it to other parts of the world. So they're actually going to Kyoto to bring Noma to Kyoto for a while. So get there quick if you can get a table.
Okay, but then you have a 3-star Michelin restaurant on your list to visit.
Yeah, there's quite a few 3 stars as well. It's one of those cities that you can really go around, enjoy high quality food, really great levels of dishes. But I'm going to go to another place that's not in the guides, not in that I've enjoyed once or twice when I have been there. It's actually called Pauli, and it's again taking the same concept of the likes of Noma, taking the same concept of a lot of these restaurants. And it's doing that new Nordic ingredients, the flavors of that, and bringing them into fruition. And also doing things like using microbreweries that are in the area. So these are neighborhood places. There's a microbrewery, there's a distillery, and they're bringing that hyper-localness to things.
If you're on a budget, is Reffen the place to go to?
Yes, that's a street food market, which is down by the docks there. Street food, it's not something that's over, in my eyes, not overly common in terms of places like Scandinavia or the Nords. You can get great street food. You can go enjoy really, you know, inexpensive things and creativity from lots of different people. But there's something about the collective of it there. There's a lot of businesses that decide to start up in the likes of these food halls, street food halls, and then build up to become bigger brands. One place that isn't in the food hall but started off very small is called Gasoline Grill. It is a burger shop that is in a petrol station, and it's a converted petrol station. It has a real cult status in Copenhagen. If you've ever flown in and out of the airport, you'll actually see a gasoline grill stand there. It's a fantastic quality burger, absolutely delicious, melting them out, and you're having it under the awning of a petrol station.
Yeah, but the type of things that you would eat in Copenhagen, is the Danish pastry actually a thing in Copenhagen?
You wouldn't see too many Danish pastries. You see a lot of pastries because, again, this idea that there's so many creative chefs who are doing their sourdoughs and they're being really creative with pastries. And like, you are lucky enough that you will get some really top class bakes. I find, especially because of the coffee culture that exists in Sweden, Denmark, Norway and the likes, you will always get top quality pastries there. I had pastries every single day that I was in Copenhagen because you just all the bakeries.
That's not good for you.
I know, but nothing I do is mad. Everything I do is terrible for me.
Well, one other thing, and I don't know how to say smørrebrød.
Smørrebrød.
Smørrebrød. Yeah. Okay, what's that?
These are the very, very typical open face sandwiches that are often topped. You can have them very simply. They're just normally like a rye bread, so a square of or a rectangle of rye bread. Sometimes they put pickled fish on this, so pickled herrings and stuff, which I was on a recent trip to Finland and I had quite a lot of the pickled herring. I didn't think I'd enjoy it, but I did. They'd put stuff like that. They'd maybe do chicken liver pâtés or pork liver pâtés on top, cured meats, bit of egg as well maybe on it. And it's a very light, filling, but satisfying type of lunch to have.
When you're on your foreign travels like this, I mean, do you spend the bulk of your money on food and skimp on the accommodation and try and go cheap flights all the time?
Basically, yeah. My entire plans are built around eating and drinking. Like, I have maps, I plan every meal. Sometimes I plan some with backups. I'm ridiculous. This is how I travel.
We're going to have you back to do more of this. Give us more guides to places around the world that we can go to. That's all we have time for today. So adding in best food destinations to The Last Word on Travel, Russell Alford, co-restaurant critic at the Sunday Times Ireland and half of GastroGaze. Thank you so much for being with us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.